Hello and welcome everybody to today's News Tonight, episode 179. This is, of course, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests, our lovely patrons, and our awesome YouTube audience to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host for today, Ash Paulson, and I'm joined by my good friend and GVG co-founder Derek Bittner, our amazingly talented graphics artist Daniel Alba, and our very, very special returning guest, the game dad himself, John Phipps of the Super Deluxe Games Cast. John, how's it going, man?
What's up, man? Dude, this is what, I'm third time around here for
your third,
me?
Third time, yeah.
Yeah. I'm becoming one of your more recurring guests, which I like.
You are.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Ditto M in our YouTube chat pointed out that this is one of the fastest guest turnaround times we've ever had. It's been about 4 months. And I really appreciate you joining us on such short notice. It was kind of a last minute thing, but I had seen on Twitter that you had, you know, you were saying a lot about the Activision Blizzard situation.
There's a lot
and
to
I figured,
say.
You know what?
There's quite a bit to talk about, which is
so
why
I figured
I'm
you'd
so,
be great to have.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for you bringing me on because, you know, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow night on SDGC, but I'm like, man, I got to talk about this now. This is great. You guys are just killing it, man. Seriously. Like, just GVG has grown so much since you guys launched, a little over a year ago now, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, a year and a couple of months now.
Yeah, and yeah. Dude, I listen to almost every episode. You guys are great.
Oh, thanks.
Dude, well, thank you so much. Especially, I have to issue you a personal apology because I've been meaning to get back to you for quite a while, and I've been so swamped with work and DMs that it's taken me way too long to get back to you. So I am just appreciative of the fact that you don't hate me, that you're willing to come and be on the show with us.
No. Come on, man. Yeah, no. Dude, it's all good.
Awesome. Well, we do have a lot to talk about today, but just a couple of things here, a little house cleaning at the top of the show. First of all, PSA, Pokemon Legend Arceus, or Arceus, or however you want to say it, has officially leaked. We won't be talking about it. No spoilers. Don't worry. In fact, they're the spoiler police right now.
Yeah.
As soon as I said that. But no, yeah. Go ahead, Derek.
There's only one thing I've looked at, and that's the, even that saying that is a spoiler. So no, I will not say anything.
We're not talking about any of that. If you're super excited about Pokemon Legends and you're spoiler wary, be careful because it's out in the wild and there are spoilers out there. So just to let you know, be careful. But we're not talking about that today here at the show. So you're spoiler safe.
I mean, it happens also, every time with Pokemon. This is not a surprise at this point.
I was just waiting for it to happen.
Now, I do have to ask the rest of you really quick. We're not going to make it a main news story, but have any of you watched the brand new Horizon Forbidden West story trailer yet?
I have not.
I haven't seen it yet. I've made a point not to, just because I feel like going completely fresh into this game and not really knowing where the story's going to go, other than the vague hints of the previous game. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like it'll be fun. I don't blame you, but I'm weak and I had to watch it immediately. So I have watched it and it's awesome. And that's all I'll say, because I understand that some people may not want to watch the story trailer, but this almost makes me go, Activision Blizzard who? Like, just give me Horizon straight in my veins right now, man. Holy crap, it looks good. But that's all I'll say about that, out of respect for everybody else who wants to go in.
Actually, this is a good question for people. Does it have spoilers for the first game?
No, it really doesn't. They do a good job skirting around spoilers. I mean, there's definitely stuff you'll recognize if you finish the first game, but it doesn't reveal the big twist in the first game, why everything is the way it is, what caused that. So I think it's spoiler safe even if you haven't finished the first game, but still, you should play the first game first, you know?
Absolutely. I was just happy seeing that key art and that the one thing I was saying throughout my entire stream of that game, I hope Silence is back, which, you know, basically, yes, that's basically confirmed by the end of that game that it'd be weird if he wasn't back. But I love Silence so much. Mm-hmm. He's just such an interesting and fun character.
I will say nothing. You may have seen another trailer that talks about that. I don't know, but I'm saying nothing. For those of you in our audience who want to know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry. I'm just saying, man, I can't wait for this game. And it's like less than a month away at this point. Holy crap. Really quick, one other. Oh, good.
Oh, Brandon Bovia says he was confirmed in the first trailer in 2020. Ah, you see, the difference is I hadn't played by then. I had no idea.
Right.
And I haven't gone back to watch, so.
Anyway, I'm super hyped. I think a lot of us are. I can't wait for that game. Man, I can't wait. One other thing really quick, birthday shout out to our very good friend and beloved GVG community member, Rob Arman X, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, my friend. Ooh. You know how much we all love you and here at GVG, and it's been an honor having you on the show in the past, and would love to have you on again. And just, you know, happy birthday. Hope you had a great one, and just know how much we love you. Sending you all the good vibes, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I saw the cake. It looked good.
I didn't see the cake, but now I'm hungry. Thanks. really quick, I did see some of you asking where Steve is. Don't worry, his return on Friday wasn't a one-time thing. He actually planned to be here today, but his internet's down. So he's there. He's
the
around.
Steve
Don't
luck
worry.
Continues.
Yeah, but he wanted to be here today. He will be back on Friday again. So he is truly back. Don't worry. But yeah, his internet's just down today. Come on, Steve's internet. Come on. but yeah, so that's it for the top of the show house cleaning. So our housekeeping, I should say. So how about we go ahead and dive into the news, guys?
Let's do it, because this, I feel like we're going to be on this subject for a while.
All right. Well, you all know what the big news story of the day. It's our first story. It's their main story. So let's go ahead and get that up on screen right now. So you may have heard, unless you're living under like several rocks, and I mean boulder sized rocks, you may have heard that Microsoft has acquired Activision Blizzard for a staggering $68.7 billion. Now,
God,
I've also seen that
loud.
Number. Ugh. Right. Well, I've also seen that number disputed by Wall Street Journal, who's also valued it at $75.5 billion. I see 68.7 more, so I'm going to go with that figure, but it could be almost $76 billion.
Hearing this. Sure. But, holy crap, did Disney get a deal with with Star Wars? How much did they spend on Marvel? Couldn't have been that much. Yeah. Look how much money they're making off of those properties. And dear God.
I don't even know what to say, man.
Like, it's like you said, John. Like it's hard to even wrap your head around that value, that number, that amount of money. It's just, we were talking about another acquisition a couple episodes ago and talking about how even if we could have just a fraction of a percent of that amount, we would be set. We would all be set. Like,
I mean, Microsoft can acquire me if they want.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, yeah. Acquire me, Microsoft. Yeah.
Buy me out. I'll be a corporate slave for that much money. Fine. That's
seriously.
That's cool. I saw this. So what's funny about this is that I woke up and immediately on Twitter, somebody was like, the rumor is that, you know, Microsoft is about to acquire Activision Blizzard for $70 billion. And everybody was like, oh, wow, that would be crazy. And then like 5 minutes later, the official.
It was confirmed. Yeah, like, I was like, awake and seeing this. And I've never seen something go from rumor to confirmed in such a fast turnaround.
It had to have been less than 5 minutes. Yeah, actually. It was, and I was at work, and I got up and left the office and got outside and called my friend Derek. And I was like, okay, like what, like, oh, hold on. And you know, there are so many, there are net positives and there are negatives here. And I feel like the negatives outweigh the positives, man. Like,
it kind of feels that way. Like, at first I'm like, good, Microsoft it tends to be one of the more outspoken when it comes to inclusiveness in the industry. Yep. They're the first to deride Activision, which might have been a play at this point, just be like, you know, make sure that people remember that and look good, because people do go through receipts. It's one of those things where at first you're like, okay, they can really turn things around. There's potential here. There's things. But then I started thinking about it and just seeing some other perspectives. And it really threw me off. Like, I retweeted a thread that kind of runs it down. And he basically came out to the idea is it's not going to fix Activision Blizzard. If anything, it'll serve its purpose, which it already kind of has, convincing the media that this is a solution, but at the same time, all the lower tier execs that were part of this and proliferated this will be running things as they were before. Now, it's possible that won't happen, but so far, and granted, they can't confirm this until the sale goes through, Kotick is still there, and stuff has come out about Kotick since then that makes him look even worse, which is saying something. So,
well, like, here's the thing about that, right? I'm sorry, I'm talking too much. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm kind of of two minds on this as well. I don't think it's a great thing, but the hopeful part of me wants to believe that Activision Blizzard employees almost have to be doing a little better under Microsoft stewardship than they would be under Kotick's continued stewardship. Now, of course, we don't know yet for sure if he's departing Activision Blizzard after the deal, but sources seem to point to him actually, yes, that he is going to depart once the deal closes, mm-hmm. which isn't actually going to even happen until fiscal year 2023, which doesn't even start until next July. So we still got a little ways to go.
So here's the other thing, just on the lower end of things, that just give perspective here. All these people who we were talking about on Monday striking and trying to fight for their better rights, that all gets reshuffled. This is a brand new set of people running the show, having to deal with a whole new set of people that they need to work out. And because all of a sudden you bring in all these new employees, it's possible you have redundancies now and they're going to be laid off and not kept around anyway. Things are going to shift here, and the little guys are definitely going to get screwed over.
Well, you know, something that I want to point out is a lot of people have been saying that, you know, Kotick will most likely, like, I believe he's going to step aside, right? Like, yes, having said that, like, one, you know, he wasn't personally responsible for these bad things happening. He just knew about them and didn't do anything, right? Mm. So,
well, he's also been tied to doing some of that shit himself too, though.
I didn't know that, but
yeah.
But the thing is like getting rid of him, which is a good thing, will not stop these acts of abuse at the mid-tier leadership level. And two, like, there's no justice at all. Like, people don't realize that he is not only going to jump from the ship with a golden parachute. That golden parachute is going to be firing rockets made out of $1,000 bills on the way down. Like, I mean, you know, he is going to be more than fine.
Oh yeah.
And that sucks. Like, that, that sucks. Everything that man has done, everything that he has enabled, he deserves to lose everything, in my opinion. And he's not.
He's going to
gain from this situation, and that just sucks. It sucks. Yeah.
I mean,
well, and on that note, look at the way Activision Blizzard employees.
Okay. I was going to say, well, look at what Kotick has tried to do to try to get people to not think about what's been going on with Activision Blizzard. It came out that he considered buying Kotaku or PC Gamer.
Just to change and control the narrative.
Yeah.
Around Activision Blizzard. There is no bottom for this guy.
He said he did not acknowledge any of the strikes going on.
Yeah. He said there's nothing wrong going on. I haven't heard of a strike. Yeah. And he wanted to frame the narrative around Activision Blizzard by buying out Kotaku and PC Gamer. This guy just has no.
He literally wanted propaganda. He wanted his own propaganda wing. It's nuts, right? Like, I've never seen anything like this in the gaming industry, right? Like,
right.
And Kotick aside, you know, I think what's getting lost in all the talk about Bobby Kotick being gone, which again is a very, very good thing, is the fact that, I mean, I think we're looking at the beginnings of a quote unquote arms race in gaming where, you know, Sony and Microsoft are just going to start snapping up the largest developers around. And, you know, when you monopolize an industry like this, that's not good for anybody but the people in charge. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. You know, a lot of the talk's been about Call of Duty, right? Like, I don't think you buy Activision for $70 billion to let PlayStation have Call of Duty. I just don't think you do.
No, no.
Like, at least not permanently.
Maybe you have a transition period.
Phil Spencer has said that, you know, while they do plan to make some content Xbox exclusive, that they're not going to, that they are going to keep delivering key franchises to PlayStation platforms going forward. Now, that sounds nice. And he, but he may just mean that temporarily, you know, maybe like a slow phasing out, because I agree with you. You don't make that kind of acquisition without it, you know, obviously meaning it to be a major power play. And the most powerful play is to just take that content away from PlayStation, even though really the consumers lose. And I agree with you. That is my main concern about all this as well. But I do think that that very valid concern has gotten wrapped up in hyperbole, at least some other hyperbolic statements, because this is gaming discussion, right? And game enthusiasts love to be hyperbolic. I tweeted about this, John, and I know you replied to me and tweeted about it yourself as well. But I've seen some really, really bad hot takes on places like Resetera, who are basically saying, I don't know if you guys have heard, video games are over, guys. Pack it in. Sony and Nintendo are doomed. They're toast. It's done. We might as well just all go home. Video games have been lost forever. And come on, like
so right off the bat, like Nintendo saw what happened and they kind of shrugged and went on about their day. Like they don't care about
no
this.
Nintendo. This does not affect Nintendo at the least.
No, not at all.
There aren't any major Activision titles that show up on the Switch. So
exactly,
they get late ports of Crash and Spyro.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. And given the close working relationship between Microsoft and Nintendo, nothing's going to change between them.
Right.
Sony actually does have something of a problem in that they've lost Starfield. I guarantee you they're going to lose The Elder Scrolls 6. That's not coming to PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
They may very well lose Call of Duty. And if I was Sony right now, I would be not that I think they should do this, because again, that whole arms race thing, but if I was Sony, I would be on the phone with the CEO of Square Enix right now, like, guys,
yeah,
listen up. What are we talking here, right? Like 50 billion, 30 billion, yeah. like what do you need from us? And I would be stunned if Sony executives, PlayStation executives are not having those conversations right now.
Yeah, and that's the part of this I don't like. I mean, the less competition there is, the worse it is for all of us. And I don't like the idea of a games industry arms race where every publisher is just trying to snap up every developer they can. That to me is the worst specter of all of this. But I do think that if you're going around convincing yourself that PlayStation suddenly is doomed and that this is the end of the PlayStation brand forever.
No.
I got a bridge to sell you wherever you want to have a bridge, because that's, come on. Like,
especially like when you're talking about Japan, like nobody in Japan plays games like Call of Duty. Like, I mean, no, they don't.
But the other problem is that Sony has been slowly getting away from the Japanese audience. They shut down that studio that did all the experimental games that appeal to the Japanese audience. They were trying to go more global, and this might have shot them in the foot that their attempt to go more global, all of a sudden they need that base at home, and it's not quite there anymore. Like they've lost it because they kind of abandoned it.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think Microsoft's going to be the one to scoop it up. This will just be fresh for Nintendo or the mobile market at this point. Real quick though, because the three of us have been talking like crazy. Daniel, I want to get your thoughts on this, because we're the loud ones.
I don't want to like interrupt anything.
No.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest buyouts that we've ever seen. Microsoft has been quickly assembling more and more franchises to put onto Game Pass, which is like one of the biggest deals you could get for anything involving games. And I mean, it's not going to destroy Sony, of course, but it's still potentially monopolizing the structure of the service with the sheer variety that it has. It's starting to back PlayStation into a corner before it has a chance to actually compete with it. So they have to really make their own kind of like spin on this structure before, if they hope to compete with something like Game Pass, before it grows just more and more powerful with all of these franchises, key franchises that they're acquiring through Activision Blizzard as well now.
Yeah.
Right. I think it is important to also remember that, and Phil Spencer even kind of mentioned this a couple of days ago, right before the acquisition, you know, Phil expects Sony to come out with their own Game Pass competitor. And we already know that they're working on something called Project Spartacus, which promises, or at least rumored promises, to bring PS1, PS2, and I think PS3 games, if I remember correctly, to a subscription-style service, which, you know, that alone obviously isn't going to come close to making up for the tremendous loss Sony's going to incur here with Microsoft acquiring all of Activision Blizzard's IPs. But it's not as though Sony's got nothing in the works. It's not as though, you know, they're like, Spartacus is coming one way or another. And I think Phil's completely on the money with that. They would be enormously daft not to be actively working on the Game Pass competitor.
It's financially solid of Sony to like all of a sudden decide to snap up Ubisoft, for example. I don't think they have the funds for that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good idea. I think they're like, if they can get some more studios to just help pop up some more, smaller studios, it's fine. Like the purchase of Insomniac, good idea. The purchase of Bluepoint, good idea. Stuff like that makes sense for Sony, these smaller studios. Entire companies like this, they don't have the money for it. They can't compete level.
I can actually see them at least attempting to pick up Square Enix. Like there has been a lot of discussion about if Sony were to answer in kind with kind of like a, hey, let's return fire. I mean, hey, let's face it. Square Enix is the most likely candidate. Like it's the one that everybody is talking about would be the most likely candidate for Sony to pick up. And of course, Square Enix, while a big, obviously, it's Square Enix, they're a big developer / publisher, but they are nowhere near, I mean, their value is nowhere near what Activision Blizzard is. So I think it's feasible that Sony could at least attempt to pick up. The thing is, not that most Square Enix games are PlayStation exclusive, but a lot of the big ones are not coming to Xbox anyway.
That would affect Nintendo more than anything else.
It would, I think so. Yeah, to be clear, I hope it doesn't happen.
Oh yeah,
same. I would prefer it not to happen as well. And I mean, I will say personally, it's easier for me to sit back and not really be too bothered by this short term because I don't really play Activision Blizzard franchises. So for me, this doesn't really affect me personally on the level of my own gaming taste. It's more the long term effect of industry consolidation that I'm concerned about, like you said, John. But what I'm more concerned about than anything is how this all affects the working conditions at Activision Blizzard. And as we've talked about, there are promising signs. There are also worrying signs. Jason Schreier did field some sentiments from Activision Blizzard employees about this whole thing. And he said that by and large, they've been expressing optimism about management changes and the positive culture at several Xbox-owned studios, which we talked about, but also fury toward Microsoft for giving Kotick a big payday and a soft exit, and also determination to keep organizing. So it seems as though the sentiment internally at Activision Blizzard is kind of similar to what we're seeing. Some promising signs, but also some danger signs. And that's really like, what I'm concerned about more than anything.
Does Microsoft reshuffle what Activision Blizzard's already doing? Do they look at what Blizzard and seeing like, all right, we need to put more assets into Overwatch 2 and this so we can finally get it out, and you've been sucking compared to Final Fantasy 14, we've been losing players to that with WoW, you got to fix that. Okay, we need to stop the yearly releases of Call of Duty, let's give teams more time and take the teams that we just put on to that with the Toys for Bob and the whatnot, and let them actually work on Spyro. And or I saw people floating around the idea of Toys for Bob doing a Banjo-Kazooie remake. That'd be cool. But will they take them away from the Call of Duty machine and let Activision continue as is as far as game release level? Or will they reshuffle things to try to make it more efficient, spread teams out, have more variety of content, or stick to what has made Activision as big as it is? I don't know.
Ash, you mentioned like positive signs, right? But I think there are even there with Kotick leaving, there are negative signs as well. Like I think the most likely candidate to take his place would be Mikey Barra, who is a former Microsoft executive who is essentially the guy right under Kotick right now. At least he's head of Blizzard, right? Mikey Barra was there. He was co-running Blizzard with a woman who left soon after she got there because she was like, my opinion didn't matter. Like, it was the Mikey Barra show all the time. Mm-hmm. And this guy never showed up to meetings. He never made his presence known. And yet I had no input at all. So, I mean, why stay? I'm out of here. Mikey Barra sucks. Like, and him being in charge of Blizzard, you know, going forward, you know, or even being put in charge of Activision by by Xbox when this merger goes through, or not a merger, but acquisition goes through. Like, that's not a great thing. Like, he's not great.
No, you're right. And it's really, I think, going to come down to how heavy-handed Microsoft is going to be at forcing workplace culture change at Activision Blizzard. And on that note, there is a potentially promising sign. This comes from Khalif Adams on Twitter. But they mentioned that Microsoft shared their new Xbox gaming organization chart, corporate organization chart, and it's majority women, which is, that's nice to see the Microsoft doing. It is majority women at the top levels of Xbox gaming here, the gaming leadership team, as they call it. So that's obviously not a one-to-one cause and effect. That doesn't necessarily for sure mean that things are going to get better for women and other marginalized people at Activision Blizzard, but it's possible. And I would say it's a better sign than if it were just a gaming leadership team of all old white guys, right? So
for sure.
Yeah. Promising signs, but I agree. We're so far from being able to actually conclusively conclude that this means things are going to get better.
Can I throw a question? Can I throw a question to all you guys?
Sure.
This has to mean that World of Warcraft's coming to Game Pass, right?
Oh, yeah.
You would think so.
I could totally see them working on a port and trying to, like, there has to be some internal thoughts like, okay, we're getting our butts kicked. Like, just word of mouth wise, we are getting our butts kicked by Final Fantasy 14. WoW has never been challenged like this.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right.
Well, I mean, WoW has been overtaken by Final Fantasy 14.
I didn't realize. I wasn't sure if it had been completely overtaken yet. Not.
No, it has. Final Fantasy 14 is now the most populated MMO in the world. Hmm. And you know, at this point, I think it's safe to assume that Final Fantasy 14 just isn't coming to Xbox, guys. Like, it's just not. Like, that dream is dead. So Microsoft is going to want, and let's face it, Phantasy Star Online 2 is great, but it's not gonna compete with Final Fantasy 14. World of Warcraft on Xbox could,
but sure, it has an image problem to work on now.
Yes, it does.
And
yes, it does.
I think Rob Arman X mentioned WoW 2. That would be something. I don't know if they'll do it, but
right,
a relaunch like that, maybe.
Thomas Nerds Out asks or poses a weird scenario here in our YouTube chat, saying, "Ash, imagine if Microsoft bought out Capcom. That means Mega Man would be a Microsoft character. Would you want that?" I mean, as long as Mega Man's still Mega Man, it'd be fine. But it's more that would limit his potential audience, right? And I want Mega Man as well as possible, so I don't want him locked onto a certain console.
Well, that's also not going to, that's not ever going to happen, because by Japanese law, it's almost impossible for a U.S. company to purchase a Japanese corporation.
Exactly. Not impossible, but almost impossible.
Almost impossible.
And it's not going to happen.
Much harder.
Yeah. I think you have to look at, for companies like Bandai Namco, Capcom, Sega, you have to look at Sony potentially purchasing them.
Right.
We'll see, but I doubt it. I don't know.
Atlas.
Well, Sega's part of Atlas is part of Sega, so that'd be a 2-in-1.
Yeah, I could. Well, wouldn't that be a coup by Sony though, to like snap up Sega? Like, that would.
Oh,
because,
man,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, because you gotta wonder, like, what does that mean?
Games.
Yeah, like, what does that mean for Phantasy Star Online? I mean, like,
oh wow.
Yeah,
like, yeah. So who knows? I don't know. For me, it all comes back to I have been going back and forth all day on this as to whether or not I think there are more negatives and positives. And you know what? This is not an answer or a question we're going to have an answer to for a couple of years, actually.
No,
to be honest.
Like, wait and see the results, because it could go so many different ways, and it all depends on how the management handles it.
The funniest thing about all this to me is that through all this, Kotick has continued to try and convince people that this has nothing to do with the allegations and stuff surrounding Activision Blizzard. This happened completely independently of that, divorced from that. And
meanwhile, their stock's dropping. This is probably the cheapest they were ever going to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And apparently, so I understand it, Phil originally approached Bobby last year, like later last year, to kind of talk about this, and Kotick didn't want to sell. And in fact, he looked for other companies to possibly outbid Microsoft and Facebook/Meta has been named specifically.
Oh yeah,
which talk about a weird ass timeline where we're Facebook.
I can only imagine
return to Facebook.
If Facebook bought Activision, I think there'd be active revolt amongst gamers. People do not like the metaverse or Facebook. So
the year is 2040. Every video game is on the blockchain.
Oh God. Oh my God. I think that would be a death knell for Activision if they actually got bought out by Facebook.
The Irish Shackamon in our live audience patron chat said apparently Disney was also approached. I didn't read that, but there is so much information to absorb about all this.
Oh yeah, so much came out.
So yeah, but this is wild. We're living in a weird timeline, and I don't think any of us could possibly have guessed that this is how everything would play out as we were reporting on all the Activision Blizzard dumpster fire shit. You know, I think we just kind of figured that things would get worse before they got better, but that nothing like this buyout would occur.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me with the little graphic that Microsoft put out that like, hey, we're buying this. The franchises they highlighted are all mainly Blizzard, except for the Candy Crush and Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So for people hoping for Spyro and Crash, maybe don't put your hopes up out there yet.
Right.
Exactly. One of the most interesting things about this whole situation is seeing the various opinions of people online, and people applauding this because they just want COVID gone. And you know, people who are out and out saying, nope, this is a bad thing. It's an ugly precedent. It's probably more accurate to say it's Microsoft continuing an ugly precedent. And I find myself, you know, just completely stuck in the middle. At the end of the day, you guys remember that tagline for the old Transformers movie by Michael Bay? It was "No matter who wins, we lose."
Oh, yeah.
That's capitalism in a nutshell.
And also I'm just disgusted by the thought that any entity on Earth could throw $70 billion at something without a thought. I can't even comprehend.
I think Microsoft is like worth brought in earnings of $1 trillion. Previous year, so
that's just I can't even.
That's the thing. Disgusting. This $70 billion is a drop in the bucket, comparatively.
Yeah. Acquire me, Microsoft. Please, I'm cheap. I'll go for $100 million. Like no $70 billion here. I don't know, man. Do you guys think that this is something that's ultimately going to prove beneficial to gamers, or? Do you think it's much murkier than that? Do you think the cons for the industry, 5 years down the road, outweigh the positives?
Let's throw this to you first, Daniel, because I feel bad that we keep you. Please feel free to interrupt us whenever you
seriously.
Want. Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel like we're talking over you. So.
Especially me. Daniel. Interrupt the shit out of me.
Let's throw this to Daniel first and get your thoughts, man.
Man, I don't. It's such a murky thing, as you said right now, to discuss, because like we don't really know right now at the present moment like how it's going to affect like the people that play these games, the people that work on these games, the people in the office. Everyone has such a sudden knee-jerk reaction to what's happening, pointing out the positives right away because they want to see change happen. But then we think about it as Derek was thinking about it more as well, finding more negatives that were within like concealing all this. So, man, I just want to hope the best for the people that work there, that hopefully, yeah, like despite the whole shuffle, despite whatever happens with everything there, like the people here get some kind of recognition for what's happening, the compensation that they deserve, and the more respect for them within the office itself. Because I mean, is it wrong to say that this is probably like the best thing that could have happened for the people in the company, like having the just changing hands of who's in control and potentially like restructuring certain things? Because it definitely isn't in all aspects, because they're as people who are also wrong.
I don't think it's wrong. I think it's also based on what we've seen Kotick attempting to do. This is like, he was never going to leave of his own volition. He was going to have to be taken out there for kicking and dragging. There was no way he was leaving there without some sort of compensation, and that may or may not be coming. I think it really all comes down to essentially one man. This is Phil Spencer's whole thing now. he's the one that set it up and, you know, sought this out and saw the issue and was like, okay, this whole mess of a lawsuit and the way things are being run, we're taking on this problem as well as getting all these assets. There's a big negative right off the bat for Microsoft by owning the Activision, because those problems did not disappear. Right. That lawsuit is still going on and it's all on Phil. So now it's his job to manage all these new companies, manage all these new people, pick the right people to be in the right position so this does not happen. And if it fails on any level, this all goes straight back to him. Now, granted, he could just leave. You know, he could just like wash his hands of it. He's just I'm done with my job. I'm going to go on to something else. I've crafted this. Here's other people going on now. But this is Phil Spencer's legacy now. And whether or not it succeeds is completely on him.
And while, like, obviously common sense isn't all that common, but common sense tells me that if Microsoft, I mean, Microsoft obviously knows the dumpster fire that Activision Blizzard has become, and what they're, like you were saying, Derek, all the shit they're taking on by acquiring them like this. So you have to imagine that they're doing so with a plan to improve Activision Blizzard's image, because if they acquire them and don't change anything, then this becomes their problem.
Yeah.
Now they're implicated in all this. So you have to think that they're planning on, you know, basically draining the swamp. I would hope that's what common sense says, but you know, as I just said, common sense isn't always common.
You know, it's not lost on me that about a month and a half, 2 months ago, Phil Spencer said, you know, we're really going to change the way we work with Activision Blizzard going forward. And then, like, now it's like, you know what? Just buy them. And it's like Thanos putting on the gauntlet and saying, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, and if that was the intention, like, I got to admit, like, it's the ultimate power move. Like, you won't fix yourselves? Fine. I'll fix you. And I know that's not why they were bought, but that coming on the heels of saying we're going to change the way we work with this company going forward, just like the irony is thick, and I love it. It's delicious.
And I think to circle back around to the question you posed earlier, John, I think whether this is good or bad for the industry really depends on what happens from here. I mean, if this kickstarts a chain reaction of publishing, you know, of Sony and possibly Nintendo also snapping up as many developers as possible, that's a bad thing.
I do not see Nintendo taking part in this.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Nintendo will at all. And Sony, I think, is the main concern. And if it does trigger Sony to do that, and now it becomes a buying war to snap up as many developers as possible, yeah, that's bad for the industry. It's bad for us. But we're not going to know that until several months from now, or a couple of years from now even, to really see how this all shakes out. Because remember, even though the deal is happening, it doesn't close until the end of, or until the beginning of fiscal 2023, right, which doesn't even start till next July. So until next July, Activision Blizzard is still operating normally and independently of Microsoft. So we have a ways to
a year and a half of Kojak still around.
Yeah. And well, also let's not forget that, you know, there are, you know, regulations to be considered here, and it's already been brought up that, you know, this deal is being looked at very, very carefully. And it's not a 100% guarantee that the deal will go through at all. I mean, let's face it, there's a high chance that it will. Obviously, Microsoft was confident enough to go ahead and announce it. But nothing is, you know, in these troubled times we live in, I don't put any stock in anything until it's right in front of my face. Anything could happen. But hey, I mean, I'll tell you this much. It is the biggest sea change in the industry, I think, in the last 15 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I would say you're probably right about that. Yeah. It's wild to think what, like, really the deal that Microsoft got here. Because while it's true that their bid is still a 45% premium on Activision's closing price as of Friday, that's way down from what the share prices were before all the allegations hit.
Oh, yeah.
So you're still paying a pretty penny, obviously, almost $70 billion, but it's not nearly as much as they would have had to pay prior to all this. So they're still kind of getting Activision Blizzard at a steal, relatively speaking.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think we've really kind of blown this whole subject wide open. Is there anything else any of you want to add about
this?
No,
I'm exhausted.
Danielle, what about you?
I think the one below this was probably like the next biggest acquisition was probably EA. Was that about like 30 or 40, almost $40 billion when they were acquired, like back then?
Mm-hmm. I had honestly even forgot that happened.
Yeah, me too.
Just said it.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Yeah. But yeah, it just shows the scope of how much money that companies are willing to spend for acquiring certain for acquisitions. And this is like one of the biggest ones we've ever seen.
And let's face it, Daniel, like in a publisher arms race, Microsoft's going to trounce Sony. Like they can outspend them 5-1 if they want to. Like it's not even going to be a contest.
I mean, that's how Microsoft first tried to get into the industry, is just buying a bunch of stuff.
Muscling their way in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And actually, as 112 pointed out a little while ago in our live audience patron chat, this is the biggest acquisition in tech history. The one right below this is Dell purchasing EMC in 2016 for $67 billion. That was the previous record. So, I mean, it really can't be overstated how enormous this is, even though, as I said earlier, I do think people are being really hyperbolic when they say, well, yeah, Sony and Nintendo are doomed. They're done. Video games are over.
I don't think games are over.
No. Games are not
over. Time to start reading books.
Yeah, right.
There's still the indies.
All right. Well, we got a few super chats coming in while we were talking about all this. So let's go ahead and read out a few of those. First is Sonic and Mega Man 531 with $2. Thank you very much. Asking Adeline from Kirby versus Ashley from WarioWare. You choose. I got to go with Ashley here, only because I don't feel like we've seen the extent of what Adeline can do.
I mean, she's playable in Star Allies, but one of the notable things about Adeline is after she's out of her paintings, she tries to attack Kirby. She kills herself. Like, it's like she bounces off Kirby and dies. So, yeah, Ashley.
I feel like Ashley's kind of a baddie, so I feel like it's her. What about you guys?
I don't know. That was her being possessed. I don't think she would actively attack somebody like that. And anything that she draws comes to life. So, I mean, you can think of anything to counter Ashley in that kind of situation.
I'm gonna go with Adeline just because I'm a Kirby super fan. And I'm always going to err on the side of Kirby. So,
well, see, now I feel bad because I'm a Kirby super fan.
Kirby and the side
too,
of artist.
I'm the artist,
goddammit.
Yeah. All right, $5 from Mwape Mulinga is next. Thank you so much. Saying, I'm going to say this was a bad news period from the Kingdom Hearts Switch ports, Activision Blizzard being scummy, trying to control the media, and monopolies everywhere. Holy freaking damn. Yeah, it's been a rough news week for sure. We're going to get to the Kingdom Hearts stuff in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. Yeah, that's going
to
be fun.
News compared to Monday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Next up is Jacob Tucker with $5. Thank you, saying some noble white hat hacker needs to steal the money Bobby Kotick will get for his departure and give it to the Activision Blizzard employees. Hell yeah. No argument here. I wish.
Do it.
I wish like a Robin Hood hacker could do that kind of thing. Absolutely. Mr. L with £5, saying we shouldn't look to consolidation as the best solution to solve every problem. I feel like some people are way too enthusiastic about it. Agreed. I don't think you'll get any argument from any of us here.
Nope.
I think we agree with you. Yeah. Black Ninja with $5. Thank you so much. Saying, hey, y'all, hope you all are doing well. What's your favorite third-party game on the Wii? Mine has to be The Conduit 2. Bring it back. Jeez. That's,
Fragile Dreams.
That's a really good one. Maybe one of the Trauma Center games for me. I'd have to really think about it, but like Trauma Team was awesome. All the Trauma Center games on Wii were really good.
Fortune Street count.
Yeah.
If it's partly Nintendo.
Yeah, Fortune Street counts for sure.
Resident Evil 4.
Ooh, there you go.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
The motion controls are just so good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's actually my favorite third-party game, but of the ones I can think of now, I do got to give it a shout-out to the Trauma Center games. Atlas, bring them back. Bring them back. They're so good. Next up is $5 from Miss Kid. Thank you very much. I don't recognize your name, Miss Kid, so great to see you here. Saying Sony would be in a lot better of a position if they didn't abandon the Japanese market the way they did. Where's the lie? RIP Japan Studio. Completely agree with you. Next up is $10 from Shadow the Pika, saying almost a month at a new full-time job. Got my life back together as the previous job was killing me. Last fall was the hardest point of my life. Thanks for making me smile last year when I needed it, guys. Well, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for letting us know that you're doing better. Congrats. And I'm so happy that we were able to help pull you through that really difficult period in some small way. So thank you for letting us know, and congrats, seriously. Okay, one more for now. $5 from RecBCQ saying, thank you very much, saying, got distracted watching Whose Line Is It Anyway clips on YouTube, but now I'm here.
That is a rabbit hole. Said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if someone said it, but Crash went from Sony to Microsoft. Yeah, we've been talking about all the characters that have switched owners now, essentially. But yeah, it's just, it's a wild, wild time to be alive in the game industry. But thank you, RecBCQ. There are a few more super chats, but I want to go ahead and move on with the show, get to the other news. I will read them out between future stories, though. Don't worry. So next up, we have another Microsoft news story of a sort, but of a different flavor. So let's get that up on screen. So I don't think we'll have too much to say about this, but if you missed the news, Banjo-Kazooie, the original Banjo-Kazooie, is coming to Nintendo Switch Online N64 tomorrow, January 20th. Woo! It'll be added to the service for expansion pack owners or pack pass, whatever. Yeah, so you'll be able to play Banjo-Kazooie on the go starting tomorrow for N64 Online. And hell yeah, I mean, we obviously already knew it was coming, but it's nice to have a confirmed release date. And hey, you know what? Even if the remaster version on Xbox is better, and it is, having Banjo-Kazooie on a portable, like in a portable format, is so cool. I love that. I just hope the emulation's good. How about you guys?
Banjo's back home again.
Yeah, it's finally coming home.
We have another. It's like, let's spin the roulette wheel and see what problem emulation is going to have this time. Because my God, I wonder if when you try to do stop and swap, Gruntilla will just delete your file personally.
Well, that was actually my favorite thing. I just put it out there on Twitter. Is like, okay, what kind of issues are we going to run into with Banjo-Kazooie? And somebody said stop and swap will actually work. And I'm sorry, that killed me for whatever reason. It's just that
would
absurd.
Be amazing. Actually, that something. Would be a feature.
Yeah,
that would be a feature. Hell yeah. Let's see, Nerd Consultant in our live audience patron chat does point out, though, that it's tomorrow for us in the US, but Friday for folks in the UK.
So okay.
Thank you for pointing that out. So it's 2 days away if you're in the UK. But yeah, Panda Otter of the Forgotten Land says, I can barely contain my excitement. Cue all the Banjo Bear bird fun. But yeah, I just really hope that this isn't beleaguered by emulation issues like Paper Mario.
It will be.
It will.
Especially Paper Mario.
I just hope the emulation issues aren't too egregious. Hopefully the
That's what I mean.
Controls are
like
pretty solid.
Honestly, things like Ocarina of Time, you can still play it. Most people who know the whole fog issue, they're not going to care. They're not going to know. There's just people. So there are some people playing it for the first time ever, and that's. I think people are overreacting for certain things, but things like Paper Mario, like I think the issue with that was like I think they found some of the sources of the issues where if you have Watt as your partner and you get a game over, that messes up the emulation. It makes it crash and it makes it go back to the last time it like hard saved to a file. And I think part of it is because like she's the only one that has like little effects around her, so it has something to do with those like spark effects that go around, and it causes something to mess up within the emulation. I saw a video about it, and it went in more detail, but like I hope something like that doesn't happen with Banjo-Kazooie as well. Hopefully, please, because it's going to be a lot of people's first time playing that game as well. So I just want I'm just excited for people's reactions for a game that I played a lot on the N64. But
why can't Nintendo get this right?
I know.
It's not hard.
Go ahead. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's a sad thing. We should be elated that Banjo-Kazooie is coming. And we are in some aspect. But now there's this whole this cloud hanging over us. It's like, all right, what's going to be wrong?
It's going to happen this time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it got to the point where you hammer the wrong tree in Shiver City and Paper Mario, the game crashes. Like, there are emulation issues like Ocarina of Time level, and then there are emulation issues like critical ones, like Paper Mario level. Let's hope that Banjo-Kazooie is closer to, like, the Ocarina of Time. Or none. How about none would be nice, Nintendo? Well, no emulation problems. But...
Well, that right there, Ash, tells you the bar we're dealing with right now, right? We're like, if we could just have... a smattering of glitches in Banjo-Kazooie as opposed to a smorgasbord of glitches. If we could just go light on the glitches this time around, Nintendo, that'd be like, it's wild that we're even having that conversation. And Nintendo, to my knowledge, has not addressed any of this, and they probably won't.
Right.
They're not going to fix any of it. They're just going to dump. They're going to keep dumping these games out on Nintendo Switch Online, and we're going to keep rolling the dice with them.
I mean,
yeah, I completely agree.
For those of us spending that extra money, boy, we're getting our money's worth.
In the, a few people in the patron chat said, if this runs perfectly, it will be a rare win for Nintendo.
Ah, there you go.
A few people in our patron chat, Eddie B and Moon Rota, are apparently my voice just cracked. I didn't even realize it. I've been up since like 7:30 in the morning, so my voice is cracking. Blame that.
Get on my level, Ash. That's every morning.
Yeah, I know, right. But yeah, I didn't realize that my voice had cracked. I guess I sounded like Kazooie there for a second. Nice. This is obviously on the face of it very exciting, and I'm so glad that a new generation of Nintendo fans are going to be able to try and play Banjo-Kazooie if they'd missed out on the N64. All I would say is, if you do have access to an Xbox platform, do play it there instead. Like, Banjo-Kazooie is an amazing game no matter where you play it, but it is better across the board in the remastered version on Xbox. There are some quality of life features. The performance is better. Obviously, it's upscale or HD, like up-resed. It's just a better experience.
You don't have to go about worry about the jiggies.
And yeah. Well, the main thing is the note system too. Yeah. If you collect some notes in a level and you die, yeah, then you still keep the notes you collected. Whereas on N64, if you collect 99 notes in Rusty Bucket Bay and you die, guess it's what? You're starting back from zero again. So
that's what that save feature will be used for in the Switch version.
Yeah.
If you find yourself getting a lot of notes, abuse save states.
Yeah, if this is your first time playing this game, if this is your only way to play this game, it's sad to say to use save states just in case anything bad happens. But save state every now and then, because that was safe from the crashes that Paper Mario happened to endure. You were able to go back to save states even though you crashed. If not, you might go back several chapters. So who knows what would happen with this game? It's sad that
Jason Cotter in the YouTube chat, is this real? New firmware just went live. Emulation stability, is that real or not?
Did it actually just happen? Nintendo heard us
talking about it.
Did you hear us?
Wow, it actually
heard us.
Wow, everybody's confirming it. Wow,
that's
so funny. If it's true, then we take credit for it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Nintendo watches.
Jeez, finally
confirmed.
Booted up and died.
You're welcome, everybody.
Let me know if it works.
Bowser's hovering in the chat right now, going, "Oh, these motherfuckers!"
Right? Yeah.
I'll say this much though: like it's wild that we're getting all these great classic N64 games, right? Like the N64 is such an underrated console. At the same time, the definitive versions of these games can be played elsewhere. Like, for example, Derek, you mentioned playing Banjo-Kazooie on Xbox. I would agree with you. If somebody said, what's the best place to play Ocarina of Time? I would say, go play it on 3DS. Don't play it on the Switch. Same thing with Majora's Mask. Same thing with Star Fox 64. I think it's a shame. You know, not only are we getting just a mountain of glitches and bugs in all of these N64 releases, but they're just not the definitive versions of the games.
That's why we need stuff that doesn't get ported anywhere else, like Mischief Makers and Bomberman 64. Bring that to the Switch Online.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, I just... GoldenEye 64! You know, like, yeah, it's just, it's sad to me. Like, I started playing Ocarina of Time. I got an hour. I got to the Deku Tree, and then I was just like, "I'm gonna go replay this on 3DS." Like, it's just such a better experience.
Yep. So we'll see. Maybe that stability did the trick. We'll find out tomorrow.
God, I hope
we'll find out soon. Yeah. We'll probably find out earlier from people testing Paper Mario tonight.
Yeah.
But we'll have a little bit more to say about systems you shouldn't play a certain series on in just a little bit. But before we get there, let's read out a few more super chats. First is $4.99 from Bluesikin, saying, just beat Chrono Trigger for the first time.
Ooh,
it's now one of my favorite RPGs ever, but it's still beat out by Xenoblade 1 and Persona 5 for me. Hey, fair enough. Also, shout outs to John for having Chrono Trigger running in the background. I mentioned that before we started, but I forgot to call that during the show. You're after my own heart, man. My favorite game of all time.
This was for you, Ash. This was
I appreciate
for you.
It, man.
Chrono Trigger is with like Final Fantasy VI. I play it every single year.
Nice.
Yeah, I hear you. Same. Blues again, I'm so glad to hear you love Chrono Trigger. It is my number one favorite, but I'm just glad it's one of your favorites. So that's awesome. Next is $10 from Livehorde saying, sorry for the off topic question, but have any of you played either of the Dark Cloud games? Both soundtracks are masterpieces composed by Tomohito Nishiura that I think Ash especially would love. I played the first game and bounced off it. I heard the second game was better, but I so didn't enjoy Dark Cloud 1 that I didn't bother playing Dark Cloud 2. And that sounds like maybe that was a mistake.
I heard Dark Cloud 1 had some issues, which is why I avoided it. But I did eventually pick up Dark Cloud 2, played a little, enjoyed it. But it was one of those RPG things where other things came up and I stopped playing and haven't gone back to it. I still own it. I still own the first one. I have Dark Cloud 2, so.
Nice.
Hard to believe that's level 5.
Yeah, Dark Cloud is good, but I mean, it's nothing that I have a lingering desire to go back and revisit, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Next is $5 from Black Ninja. Thank you so much. First is Mr. L with £5. My bad. Thank you. Saying, I feel like we don't see these big buyouts so much in Japan. Maybe it's cultural or due to regulation. I can't personally speak on that. I don't know. But I do agree. You don't really hear about that as often in Japan. That's true. Now $5 from Black Ninja. Thank you so much. Saying, something I think would be similar to Xbox/Activision is Sony with EA. I'd like Sonic to just stick with Nintendo and Sega if that was to happen. As we said earlier, I don't think Nintendo's going to buy out anybody. I don't think Sony might.
Yeah, it's
not. I don't even think Sony's going to go after EA.
I don't think Sony will. They maybe will, but I don't think Nintendo cares.
Nintendo doesn't have that kind of money anyway. So. No.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. John Salter with $2 saying, because I'm pedantic, that was Alien versus Predator. And I'm sorry to say,
Whoever wins, we lose. That's Alien versus Predator, not Transformers.
I thought that was Transformers.
Yeah.
I thought so too, actually. Apparently it's AVP.
I mean, it makes more sense with AVP because Autobots, like, I'm pretty sure we still win. We win if Autobots win.
but everything still gets really fucked up, though.
That's a good point.
Transformers throwing each other through buildings.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, Aliens versus Predator makes more sense.
Right. Okay, well, let's go ahead and we'll cut it off here. We'll read about the rest of the Super Chats later, but let's go ahead and move on to our third story of the day. And I mentioned, we just got done talking about how, you know, probably N64 Online isn't the best place to play Banjo-Kazooie if you have a choice, but it's nowhere near the drop in quality you're getting with this next series. So let's get that up on screen. The cloud versions of the entire Kingdom Hearts series are coming to Switch on February 10th. And in advance of that date, Square dropped a bunch of demos. You can try out every game in the entire Kingdom Hearts series on Switch in time-limited demos right now. And against my better judgment, I did so last night. And is probably the best word I have to describe it. It wasn't across the board the worst experience I've ever had. But, I mean, major input delay on some games, delayed sound effects, super long startup times. And my internet's pretty good, so I actually had a pretty decent experience, surprisingly, with Kingdom Hearts 0.2, Birth by Sleep, and Kingdom Hearts 3. Those actually played the best for me, as opposed to games like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. So have any of you tried any of these demos?
Yes.
Okay.
And I live out in the middle of nowhere, and my internet is shit. And it was borderline unplayable for me. So.
Oh, God, no. There you go. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like anything cloud-based, is going to be based on your own internet connection. And like I said, I personally had decent experiences, at least, with 0.2 and 3, even though 1 and our patron chat just said, oh, no, Kingdom Hearts 3 ran awful in cloud. It seems to be a game-by-game or a person-by-person thing. I don't know. But I was getting major input delay in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. And it's just the startup time. It takes so long to actually log into the game. And
the sad fact is that these ports are just Square Enix cheaping out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Daniel.
I mean,
you can't. These are games that played on the PS2, the PSP. The 3DS, which the Switch can handle these systems on the ports. But they don't want to put them on cartridges, and instead they just leave it up to the person's internet and to be like, well, good luck if your internet can handle playing this and you don't entirely lose inputs or have extreme lag and oh my gosh, it's absurd.
Well, I mean, it's antithetical to the entire purpose of the Switch, right? Like, the whole purpose of the Switch is to be able to take your games and play them wherever you want. And you can't do that with these games because you need an internet connection. Like, if I'm camping in the woods and I bring my Switch with me, like, you know, you see in those commercials, you know, like, I'm taking my Switch to the park. Well, oops, I'm not playing Kingdom Hearts, at least, because
you use your phone. Time to use that data.
Yeah. It's kidding me.
Go ahead, Daniel. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's like, I'm just saying, it's giving me violent flashbacks to the Wii U, and that I can't actually carry the gamepad anywhere. I need to be close to the source to play it, and that defeats the purpose of having something that's handheld in my hands. And yeah, I just can't believe it.
I know, and this is the most Square Enix thing. Like, uh-huh. You know, and I say that as somebody who is part of a podcast that are Square Enix sponsored, right? Like we're Square Enix creators, and it's so frustrating because it's like, guys, I mean, please stop doing this. Whether it's pixel remasters on mobile and not consoles, yeah, or cloud-based versions of Kingdom Hearts, like, what are you doing? And who was it that said this was just them cheaping out?
Yo,
who was that? Was that Derek?
Yeah,
110%. 110%.
It probably would have been very tricky to get all the games on the Switch. Probably would have been very expensive. You couldn't, as somebody's pointing out, like 65 gigs on, like over 50 gigs for the entire collection, or the 1.5 and 2.5 collections, over 50 gigs on PS4. Granted, there's compression techniques, but, you know,
yeah,
these are big downloads, and I don't think Square Enix wants to figure out a way to compress them, get it all down, or they'd just have to be sold separately, you know?
I mean, like, I get it where... Oh, go ahead.
No, please, Ash.
Well, I was going to say, I get it where Kingdom Hearts 3 and 0.2 are concerned. Like, yes. I get that it's probably not worth Square's time and money to port these games down to the Switch natively. It's just not worth it. So for those two games specifically, I get it. The making them cloud versions, even though it's not ideal. But everything else, 1.5, 2.5, Dream Drop Distance HD, that's ridiculous. And let's not forget, by the way, that, and this is the most Square Enix ass title ever, the Kingdom Hearts Integrum Masterpiece for Cloud on the eShop. All the games together.
What?
$90 for this.
I missed that. That,
you didn't know that.
I missed that.
$90 for this.
That is really dumb, because you can get the all in one collection, which includes Kingdom Hearts 3, for like $20 now.
Yeah.
20, 30.
I'm going to PS5 right now.
Now,
The Kingdom Hearts goes on sale so often. Like, I got Melody of Memory at launch. Probably shouldn't have, but I mean, Amy enjoyed it, so that was worth it. I didn't have a chance to play it myself yet, but I knew, give it 6 months and it'd be really cheap. And sure enough, Melody of Memory is like $30 itself now. It's great, really game. Easy.
Right.
Yeah.
But I what's wild is that games sell on the Switch. They just sell more on the Switch, right? Like, you drop a game on Switch, and you drop a third-party title on the Switch and the PS5, it's going to sell more on the Switch 9 times out of 10, right? It's just going to sell more on the Switch. That system just makes games sell.
Yeah.
They left so much money, because nobody in their right mind is going to pay $90 for $90 for cloud-based Kingdom Hearts games when they are available on other platforms right now for $20. You won't have any input lag issues. You won't have any internet connection issues. I'm calling it right now. These games are going, especially after the problems with the demo, these games are going to flop on the Switch. Yeah. I don't understand what Square is talking. Like Square Enix, the past few years, feels like they just keep getting thrown home runs that they just walk out on without even swinging. And
I do want to highlight something our good friend Top Dog said in our patron chat, saying, "I don't care what people say, I am going to buy these cloud versions of Kingdom Hearts, and I'm going to enjoy them. Sora and Smash got me interested in the series, so I'm buying it for my favorite console." So
that's one of the...
I do want to say, like, look, if Switch genuinely is the only console you have access to, and it's the only way you're ever going to play Kingdom Hearts, there's no chance you'll ever be able to play it on PlayStation, Xbox, or PC, then I get it. Because I would say Kingdom Hearts is worth playing. I love Kingdom Hearts. Derek, we all love Kingdom Hearts.
We all love it.
So I mean, if you can't play it anywhere else, I would still recommend it because Kingdom Hearts is worth experiencing. It's an amazing series, especially if you love anime, over the top, power of friendship bullshit like we all do. But I can't stress enough that if you can, if there's even a slim chance that if you wait, you can play it on PlayStation or Xbox or PC, wait. Because these are such just compromised versions of really good games, mostly really good games. And it's just, it's better if you can play them on other platforms. But if you can't, then I would, you know, it's still Kingdom Hearts at the end of the day. And they aren't unplayable, although they might be if you have a bad internet connection. I don't, so they weren't unplayable for me. But they might be, as John, you said, you have a bad internet connection, and you said it was borderline unplayable. So,
yeah.
You know.
I'll say this much for anybody in, I'll say this for, well, I'll bounce off that, Ash. Like, I'll say this for anybody in chat. I am now replaying, again, for like the third time, Kingdom Hearts 3 on my PS5, and I'm still taken aback at how gorgeous it is, and how smooth it is, and how well it plays.
Incredible.
You know, like Ash said, if this is your only way to play it, by all means, go for it. If it's not, I'm imploring you to experience these games on a different platform.
These games are
people
better.
People in chat are saying Top Dog has a Series S. Sorry, go ahead, Daniel.
Just that these games are better, and you deserve better out there who wants to experience these games, because you need to, you could do much better than the Switch version. I've literally seen clips of the of Kingdom Hearts 3. There's like a battle scene, and textures are smearing. It's chugging along, and then the Switch crashes, and it says error. Switch is closed, and it's just like, oh my god.
Yep.
And Cheeto Cobra makes a great point. One more thing. For a game running on the cloud on a powerful server, these games are running at 30 FPS? Why? That's a great point. Yeah. You're locked to 30 FPS for these games, which if you play them on Xbox or PlayStation, you get buttery smooth 60 FPS performance all the way through the series. It's just, there's no reason not to play them on a different platform if you can. But that isn't the only Kingdom Hearts news we have today. We also got a few more details, not too many, but a few more details about the Kingdom Hearts 20th anniversary event that's happening in Tokyo. It's going to take place on April 10th, and Square say, this is on the Kingdom Hearts official Twitter account, they say they'll kick off the celebrations with a mini concert, a chat, and a QA with the development team, an exhibition, and much more. A video of the event will also be made available at a later date. So this is obviously something we'll be live reacting to. I already can't wait for it. My hope is just that much more includes a teaser, a peek, a little tantalizing glimpse of what's next.
I remember going to a concert at E3 for Kingdom Hearts, and they had that little teaser, and I think release date teaser for Kingdom Hearts 3 there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Juan pointing out some stuff. Event takes place in Tokyo, more specifically in Shibuya. The day is 13 days after the 20th anniversary of the first game released in Japan on April 10th, 410-10-4, the 104 building.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be even cooler when they at the event when they tell the fans, hey, if you want Kingdom Hearts physically on Switch, just, you know, if the fans demand it. Of course, we'll based on fan demand, we will look at that in the future.
Here's the question though: if they do announce a new game, there's no way it's actually Kingdom Hearts 4, right? This is probably some sort of side game type thing, Searching.
It's hard to say.
I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, we don't want to go into spoilers here, of course, but given how Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind ends. I mean, it feels as though we're on the verge of a brand new story arc, right?
And that feels like we definitely are.
Yeah, and that feels like it's big enough, seemingly new thing that it would be worthy of another numbered title. As we know in the past, Square loved to do like 5 games between each numbered title.
I mean,
so
Birth by Sleep, I think, is worthy of a numbered title, but it didn't get one, so.
Yeah. Oh, Pandotter, the Forgotten Land says Kingdom Hearts 3.9 just before the prologue chapter prelude. And Rob says they would do that. It would be 3.9.
Especially at their melody of memory.
Ash, yeah. I personally would not expect any news on like the next Kingdom Hearts game simply because, and I'll tell you why I think that, because this year they're going to be all about Final Fantasy. Right, yeah. It's the 35th anniversary.
True,
they're making a big deal about that. You know, there's there was going to be Final Fantasy stuff happening all throughout the year. I don't see them undercutting that with for example, a Kingdom Hearts 4 announcement, right? Or like a new Kingdom Hearts game, period. I just don't see Square Enix doing that. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see, more Kingdom Hearts.
I mean, it technically celebrates Square Enix, and you know, it would be kind of cool. Probably not happening, but a Kingdom Hearts Musou, and you can actually play some of the Final Fantasy characters.
I would be so into that.
But you got so many characters available across the series at this point, Hey,
Derek.
Let me play as Cloud. Let me play as Leon. Let me play as Tifa.
Yes.
You can't do this to me.
Right?
Eddie B might have said this before, but yeah, it's fine. It's go ahead. I mean, we all have the right ideas.
It's never going to happen, which sucks, because now that you've said it, I desperately need it. It makes so much sense.
Come on. You know, fighting hordes of Heartless like that is perfect for
my God. The Warrior series. Why have I never made this connection? Oh my God.
And speaking of something else I really love that we'll never get, but it's amazing. Michael McCaw says it's finally time for the most anticipated KH game of all time at the 20th anniversary. Kingdom Hearts, baby. Hell yeah. I want a Kingdom Hearts cart.
We can't have that so soon after Chocobo GP.
I want it all. Yeah.
Just put Sora in Chocobo GP. There you go.
That'd be cool. Hey, he was in World of Final Fantasy.
That is true.
No reason he can't be.
Oh man, they might announce. They could announce that they're going to bring back the command board from Birth by Sleep, which is actually Fortune Street. So they're going to do a crossover with Dragon Quest and Kingdom Hearts characters, and it's going to be canon to the story, one way or nice. Another.
Yeah, there you go.
Kingdom Hearts Birth by Speed. I can see it now.
Ooh, there we go.
That's fantastic. So good. Oh, that's so good. All right. Well, we do have a couple more news stories. But we do also have a few more super chats. So let's go ahead and read a couple of those out really quick. First is RecBCQ with $5 more. Thank you very much. Saying, let's all compete to see who can be bought by Microsoft first. Hey, like I said, we're up for acquisition, Microsoft, even for a quarter of a percent of $70 billion. Thaddeus Feeney with $5. Thank you. Saying, it's the Xbox One versus PS4 all over again, except it's Ultimate Corporation Edition. Yeah, it seems as though Microsoft are focusing less than ever on the hardware side of things and going more in on subscription services, but it is still that direct competition for sure. I mean, a buyout like that, there's no way that isn't a declaration of war in some capacity. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wayne Carruthers with 50 Australian dollars. Wow, thank you very much for your generosity. Wow, saying, guys, I love you all, but I promise you, this is a great thing. Franchise is saved, and this paves the way for more indie devs and studios to step out into the spotlight. Forcing competition and new ideas are important. This will shake up the industry. As we said, I think there are potentially good ways this could go, but I think, as we all said, there are a lot of pitfalls as well. I think it's too early to say, this is a good thing. There could be good things that come out of it, hopefully on the toxic workplace side of things for Activision Blizzard employees, but I think it's a little bit too soon to say conclusively that this is a good or bad thing. It's probably more going to be in the middle, shades of gray, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, the last super chat for now, because it leads directly into our next story. Sonic and Mega Man 531 with a $2 super chat. Thank you very much. Saying, have you guys seen the Cuphead show trailer? Well, as a matter of fact, we have, and we're talking about it. That's our next news story. So let's get that up on screen. So, as Sonic and Mega Man 531 just talked about, we've got a new trailer for the Netflix's Cuphead animated show, which we now know is launching on February 18th. And I took a look at this earlier. I don't know if you guys have yet. I love the way this is looking.
Yeah, this looks fantastic. I think I've seen some complaints that it doesn't look like exactly like the game, but look at those backgrounds. That's where it looks like the game. Like the actual character animations, maybe don't have the bounciness that they typically do, but there's enough in there that I think it matches up. And man, seeing all those characters and bosses from the game be represented here, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the animation is just gorgeous. Like, this is a really good look. It kind of actually reminds me a little bit of the Animaniacs reboot and just how gorgeous Animaniacs looks in a high-definition format. And obviously Cuphead has its own art style. It's not similar to Animaniacs in that sense, but just that high definition 2D animation, the vibrancy, and just the it looks so good. And it seems like it's going to target it'll be family friendly, but also have jokes that go over kids' heads and be there for the adults watching the show. And this is, I think it's looking great. I've seen some complaints that it looks a little bit too modern, that it isn't enough of a film grain effect, that it doesn't look quite as 1920s as the game itself. And that's true, but I don't personally mind. I think it looks great.
Yeah, when you look at it, you can tell like it's not, I mean, they're not ever going to go completely 100% into the rubber hose style that you see in Cuphead.
Right.
Even that takes a long time to do the way that they had hand drawn everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you still see like the heart of it is in there. Like you can still see the inspiration of where the original art aesthetic for Cuphead came from, and it looks so good in its style. The characters move as you more or less would expect them to move. Their expressions are hilarious. I love how singy-songy it might be when you listen to it. It's just it just reminds me of those like old-timey cartoons, which is the whole point of Cuphead.
Yep.
Yeah, completely agree. I think this is looking great. The writing definitely seems to have a bit of an edge to it. So you know, like I said, I think it'll be mostly family friendly, but I think it's going for a slightly older age bracket with some of its in jokes and some of the just kind of like the vibe of it, right? But this just, it looks great. I'll certainly be watching it. I think we all will be. We'll probably do a discussion on it. It looks great. So I don't think we had too much to say about this. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up before we move on?
Not me.
Cool.
I will say, looking at the trailer, I'll put this out there. I don't think it's going to be episodic. This looks like one story that leads into the next.
I think you could be right.
Yeah, because it looks like something happened. Like they go off. They get into trouble, and now they're on the run from the devil and meet up with the characters that you meet in the games as they go try to avoid the devil and just keep getting the shenanigans. Also, they went there and they dunk cookies into each other's heads and then eat them.
That's really weird. That's just so weird.
Yeah.
Just dip it in the brain juice and have some good cookies.
Yeah.
That's so cookie weird. Inside me.
God. Not the post show yet. Not the post show yet.
It's something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do have one more really quick news story, but before that, we do have a few more super chats to close out the show. First is Jacques Sabah with £5. Thank you very much. I hope I said your name right. Saying, would love to see a Mega Man / Metroid crossover. Right? That could happen if Nintendo bought Capcom. Monster Hunter is on the top selling game of 2021 list. So. Again,
Nintendo's not going to buy Capcom. Yeah. Also, it can happen even without that because there's been other crossovers. Yeah.
But a Mega Man Metroid crossover, dude, wouldn't be one of the hypest things that could happen. I completely agree with you. That would be so cool. Next is DJ Patrick 84 with $2. Thank you so much. Saying Nintendo hates emulation because they can't do it. Ouch. Well, I mean, I think we've seen before that they can. Wii Virtual Console was actually great, but Wii U wasn't. Consoles.
Yeah.
Oh, the mini consoles were good too. So they can do it. They just can't do it consistently. But I hear you. They seem like they're getting worse and worse at it between Wii U and now Switch. Next is Joji Nori with $4.99. Thank you very much. Saying, I hope this means Crash can finally join Smash Brothers 10 years from now, since Nintendo will be fine negotiating with Microsoft instead of Activision. You know what? That's probably the biggest chance Crash has now. This happening, it probably gives Crash the best chance he could have. In terms of becoming essentially a Microsoft character. So who knows? You might. You might see that. Next is Dislike Counter with $2 saying, I just want Nintendo to buy Bungie. That's all. That's not going to happen. Don't hold your breath. Yeah, don't hold your breath, but it's nice to want things, right? Thank you, Dislike Counter. And then finally, Oscar Navarro with $5. Thank you very much. Saying the event also takes place 13 days after the release date of the original Kingdom Hearts, which one of our patrons pointed out, Juan, I believe. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Thank you all so much for your generosity with all these super chats. We do have one more super quick news story left. We don't have much to say about it, but if you remember, I wasn't here last episode because my wife had the day off. I was spending some quality time with her. But there was a Mega Man news story, and I wasn't here to talk about it. It doesn't happen that often. But as it so happens, I was able to sneak one into today's episode anyway. So let's get that up on screen. So, as I said, there's not too much to say about this, but Mega Man X Dive is making the jump from mobile to Steam tomorrow in America, Canada, and Mexico. So if you want to play this game the way it was meant to be played with a controller, you finally can do it in the Steam version starting tomorrow. However, as our patron and former TNT guest 112 did point out, this is specifically the Taiwanese Steam version, which means you can't transfer your data over if you've been playing the mobile version that's been out in the States for a while. So that seems unnecessarily ridiculous, and like a lot of the rollout surrounding Mega Man X Dive. But if you haven't been playing the mobile version, I haven't really been playing it. This is probably the best way to dive in. So you can just play a Mega Man X game with a controller. So, yeah, Derek, it looks like you have a couple things to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, it's like, that's me. I tried to play it, and I was like, this sucks on mobile. It's like, I'd rather have a controller. But I also wonder, like, this might also prove my theory that this is probably going to be too easy on PC with a controller. So
I'd rather it be too easy and still be playable than have to play a Mega Man X game with touch controls. Just like, fair, straight up.
I just want a new Mega Man X game.
Yeah, I just want a new Mega Man X game that isn't live, right? Yeah. But so I'll be checking this out on Steam for sure, just to see how it feels playing with a controller. I am curious, at least, and it seems like it's the only Mega Man X-related thing we're going to get for a while yet. Maybe ever. Who knows?
Where's Mega Man 12?
Where's 12? Where's X9? Come on! But you know, thank you, Capcom, for giving me at least something small Mega Man related to talk about on an episode that I am here for. So I was so sad missing that story on Monday, and I kept typing in the chat just to deliver my own thoughts on it because I couldn't help myself. But yeah, not too much to say about that. Daniel, did you have anything you wanted to add about this?
Cool art, man.
There is good art in this, yeah.
The art is fantastic, which is always true of Mega Man X, but that is, yeah, that's one thing that I think we could all agree on. The art is great. And what's really cool about it is all the playable characters come from all the different Mega Man series. So you get X-style new updated art for classic characters, for Battle Network characters. It's really cool. So, yeah, great for Mega Man X fanboys like myself.
Desperate for anything.
Check it out if you want. But yeah, it's not the X9 that I know we all want. But hey, better than nothing, right? But that does bring us to the end of episode 179 of Today's News Tonight. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. I'm just checking really quick to see if we have any last minute super chats. Yes, we do.
By the way, the association of the phrase better than nothing and Mega Man related games is a little tenuous there, Ash.
I thought about that as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, the Mighty Number 9 thing. Yeah. I know. But, I mean, in this case, it is, I mean, I think X-Dive is a perfectly okay game. It's not bad, at least from what I played. It's just not the X9 that we all want. It's not the true X game we all want, but hopefully we'll get there. But I am at least looking forward to playing it with a controller. Okay, one last super chat for the day. Thank you so much to Moon Ghost Doodles with 129 Mexican pesos. Thank you. Saying graduation and birthday was a month ago. Nice. Might as well throw in some money and a game suggestion. Bug Fables is so good. One of the best RPGs out there. Good vibes. Well, thank you for your donation. And also, Bug Fables. I've heard it's amazing. I really want to play it. I've heard nothing but great things.
I picked it up on sale. It was half off recently. And I've been requested to play it on stream. It's a ways off yet, but I will eventually play it.
I really want to play it. Yeah. But yeah, well, that's our last super chat for the day. Thank you again, Moon Ghost Doodles. And thank you all for hanging out with us for episode 179 of Today's News Tonight. But as always, before we head out, I got to throw it to our amazing special guest, John. Where can our audience find you on the internet, man?
You don't want to find me on the internet, trust me. If you do, you can find me on Twitter at GameDadJP, although I would rather you go follow at OfficialSTGC. That is our podcast. We go live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We like to have big guests on our show. We've had everybody from Naughty Dog to Square Enix to Capcom to Ubisoft to the voice actors for Aerith and Barrett in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Nice. We've got a lot of really cool guests on, and we have them fairly frequently. So come check us out. We've got a Discord with over 350 people. It's nowhere near GVG's level, but we're hoping to get there. So please, and we got shirts and hats, or we got shirts and beanies are coming soon, of course, and mugs and hoodies. And every dollar you spend on one of those goes towards either take this, Able Gamers, Black Girls Code, or the Trevor Project. We don't get a single dime. All the proceeds from all of our merchandise go towards all those great charities. And you can find links to all that stuff on official SDGC on Twitter. So please come check us out.
Nice.
Dude, that's so cool. And it isn't, I've said this before, it isn't about the number of people you have following you or subs or how many people are in your Discord channel. I said this last time you were on the show. Your SGDC and your Discord server and everything you do are 100% reflective of the same yep. exact values we have here, the same good vibes we espouse here at Good Vibes Gaming. So if you love what we do, those of you in our audience, if you love the vibe that we have and the focus on positivity and inclusivity and goodness, that John and the SGDC crew do all the same things in their podcast and their own server as well. So please do go, you know, check them out. Listen to their show, watch their show. They're great, great people all Thanks, around. Man. And John, thank you so much for being here again.
I really appreciate that, dude. Seriously.
Hey, it's our pleasure. We love having you on the show, and we'll love to have you back again for yet another time coming up. So always a blast.
When we wake up in the morning and it's leaked that the Pixel remasters have been rated for consoles, you'll have yeah. me back on.
We'll just there hear you shrieking exactly. across the country. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah. all right. Well, we, as always, do have to give an extra special thank you to all of you out there who are watching the show and hang out with us three times a week. We love doing this with you. But as always, we have to give a particularly special thank you to our patrons at the producer tier and above for helping to make this show happen, because without you, it wouldn't be happening. And as I said, we love doing this with you and hanging out with you guys. So thank you so much for your generosity. But as always, we do have to give an extra special thank you to all of our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those fine, wonderful, amazing, stupendous folks include Brandon Bovia, Rob Armad X, Fangs, Dan and Twistle, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Octopuppet, Richard Herrera, Michael Phone, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, BeerJ373, Critter XD, Kitty Kong Fax, Angel Martinez, Vedron Hotik, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Sapphire, Azran127, Black King, Pagrima, Geller, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Kyle, TopDog23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Doug Shomix, Andrew Medeiros, Becca, Rox the Cat, Killamox, Eddie B, Kai Ed, Kit Fisto, Kenneth Lee Stingle, Jessica Toad, Deaneth, Sci-Fi Lullabies, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, Straight Lace, Justin Matthews, Hubi, Too Much Spaghetti, Mega Conrad, Ascaron 809, Ryaner, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes in 60 Seconds, Nathan Steele, Spicy Pant Otter, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Super Gamer Dude 101, Grantles, Ravelox, Synchro Lord, Rosa Pardo Bowling, Hey Steve's Mom, Kane Woolley, Skull Kid Tiger, Dark Steel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Dinner Sonic, Darik, Jeff Ed, Blaystar 25, Stagnasty, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Screamo Shaman, Mason Riley, Keel, Santi the Person, Brendan Hesse, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Hinaru 77, Brooke Obscura, and last but certainly not least, Anthony Wilson Jr. Thank you all so much. Reading out that list is always one of the highlights of my week. And remember, if you'd like to find out more about how you can get on this list, as well as take advantage of so many other perks that we offer our patrons, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/GVGaming, where you can support us for as little as $1 a month. To that gets you into our Discord server, where we have the best damn community on the internet. And just $5 a month gets you into our live audience tier, where you can interact with us during shows just like this. But even if you can't support us on Patreon, you only support us on here on YouTube, we'd super appreciate that if you like, subscribe, ring that notification bell. Every little bit truly does help, and we have big plans for year two, and they're coming sooner than you think. So look forward to that. But right now, we are headed to our patron-exclusive post-show, right after I remind you that when we hit 75,000 subs right here on YouTube, we're giving away a free Switch OLED. Literally, all you have to do is be subscribed and you might win. Pretty good deal. But that's it from us today. We are now headed to our Patreon exclusive post show, and we will see you on Friday. Until then, good night and good vibes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Meet again.